Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Get Into It with Gila. I'm Gila Glassberg, your host, registered dietitian, and intuitive eating counselor. And I'm really excited to put out this episode today with Elisheva Lahasky-Berkowitz. Many of you have given really great feedback from the first episode that we did together that we put out 2 weeks ago. And in today's episode, you'll see that Elisheva is sort of doing somatic therapy on me. Of course, as you'll hear me say, I will say, this is too intense for me. I don't want to talk about this publicly when it does get too intense, but as much as we're able to do it on camera, on screen, she's able to help me really tap into strong emotions, negative, positive, and actually we were able to do in real time to minimize the pain of the strong emotion. So that was really, really, really cool. And Elisheva even said that she was so happy to be able to, shed some light on this and share it with the world. And I totally relate to that because just sharing what I do with people like here on the podcast is really powerful and amazing. And I hope that it helps. I love getting your feedback. So if you do have any feedback or any questions, you could email me at gilaglassberg18@gmail.com. And there, my website is being revamped. So you could go to the website, www.gilaglassberg.com. You could see tons more episodes like this. You could read blogs, and now I have a whole new recipe tab, so there should be a new recipe coming out every week. And feel free to reach out if you have a specific recipe you want or you want me to create. I'd be so happy to do that. And in about 2 weeks, Bleamy Heller and I are doing a live workshop on Zoom to talk about how to handle all the candy and all the stress around Purim and Pesach. So you could join on my website as well. There's a link. You could just join directly on the website. And I hope that you will join, and I hope to see you there. And I'll be doing another workshop with Rachel Tuckman as well. So look out for those. And thanks for being here. Have a great day and enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome to my podcast, Get Into It with Gila. I know you're going to love the content here because you will gain inspiration, powerful tools and insights, and valuable knowledge. If you want more of this, please visit my website at www.gilaglassberg.com or visit me on Instagram at Gila Glassberg. I'm Gila Glassberg, a registered dietitian and intuitive eating counselor. I have come to realize by counseling many, many women that this work is much deeper and greater than food and body image. It's the bigger picture challenges we face of love, belonging, acceptance, what our true values and goals are, noticing them, addressing them, and gaining skills to move forward. If you have been struggling with what your life's purpose is, or you just feel stuck in general and don't know what's holding you back, this podcast will enlighten and inspire you to take action and move forward. This podcast is about other women in the 21st century who feel that losing weight will fix all their problems or somehow meet their unmet needs. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Get Into It with Gila. I'm Gila Glassberg, your host, registered dietitian, and certified intuitive eating counselor. And today I have on Elisheva Berkowitz. Hello, Elisheva.
Hi, Gila.
Hi. Thank you so much for coming on again.
I'm happy to be here.
Okay. So our first episode was amazing, and we all learned a lot. And now we are going to record a second podcast, and we're going to talk about somatic therapy, and we're going to actually, it will be a little bit more experiential. Like we'll talk about what's going on, what's going on in my life a little bit, and then you could kind of guide me through, what you would do with a client, I guess. But like we said before we started recording, that obviously I'm not going to share everything going on in my life, but I will be as honest as I could be on camera.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay, so how would you recommend starting?
So we can start wherever you're at, just taking a moment, taking in your space, taking in my space. So I'm just checking if our distance feels okay, because I know we're on Zoom. Is there any adjustments you need to make on your end?
Well, I like that. Okay, I'm going to just try to get into the mode of this. No, I like Zoom. It's a safe distance, actually.
Okay. Do you need me to make any adjustments? Can you see me well?
Yeah, you look great.
Okay. This is, you can always tell me if something's not okay for you, preference, distance. It's your call.
Okay, good to know.
Okay. So just taking a moment, And if you can look around your space or my space, and taking notice if there's anything that kind of pulls you in or calls your attention.
So is this like meaning like in a negative or positive way or even like a neutral way? I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Generally, what we're trying to do, and then we're going to try to get less cognitive.
Yeah.
And I kind of jumped in, so I'm appreciating that, like, you're just like, wait, what's going
yeah.
on?
Yes.
What are we doing? Why are we doing this?
Yes, totally.
So I'm going to guide you through just an experience. What we're trying to get is to your calmest self at this point.
Okay.
Okay. So just, you know, unlike traditional therapy, we're going to jump in to like, where are you at? What's going on? Like, let's dive straight into the muck. We actually regulate ourselves first, because somatic therapy can go very deep, very quick. And we kind of need a point of reference where we can go back to and ground ourselves if we need.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so now I'm going to guide you. And then I guess you can always stop and ask questions.
Okay.
But for it to feel a little bit more natural, I want to see if we can get through a process and then explain it after, if that's okay.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
I'll try my best.
And I'm appreciating also that it's really hard to not have your cognitive brain.
Yeah.
What's going on? Why are we doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and that's totally part of us. And that's, we don't force it out of the room. And a piece that is also, I just wanted like a disclaimer, is that we've never done anything like this before. And so there's very much getting used to your client and the client getting used to you. Right. And so what I'm able to pick up on certain clients, I'm not going to be able to do it automatically by you. Like, there's certain pieces that I can kind of check in and see where you're at. And I do check-ins as well. But as somebody becomes more and more comfortable in the therapy room, and as I get to know my clients, I also get to know their facial expressions. I also get to know where their go-tos are, either in their space or my space. I also get to know like certain nuances that like we can laugh about even, you know, of like I can even say, where'd you go? And the client would be like, oh, you realize I wasn't here. I'm like, yep,
right.
And you're not here. Right. So I may not pick up on that right now. And so I might be doing a lot more check-ins with you, just checking in where you at. Okay.
Makes sense. Wait, sorry. One more question.
Sure.
The first session with a client, do you do this right away, or it's like more the second, like you first have to like explain and make sure they're comfortable, or the first session right away?
So it really depends on what's needed. There's no protocol of like, this is exactly how I do it, because every client's so different. Every person's needs are so different. The somatic work stays the same. It's just a matter of how and when and in what way.
Got it.
So most of the time I'm explaining, because most people don't know what somatic work is. So a lot of times I'm explaining before we do anything. Right. So like our part one was some of that explanation that I give to clients of what is somatic work? How does it work? How does it work? Do we have any questions? You know, and clients ask questions all the time of like, wait, what was that? How did that work? Why does that make sense? And it also depends if somebody is more in tune with themselves. So I was actually thinking this morning, like, you know, there's so much overlap in so many modalities, different ways of therapy. I would even say like in every field, we're going to have overlap into other fields. Right. So an OT who's working on executive functioning skills can overlap with a therapist that's working with executive functioning skills,
Right.
can overlap with what a BCBA is doing with executive
Right.
functioning skills, right? Because we're all working with the same system. So there's no way that there wouldn't be overlap.
Right.
Right. Because we're all working with the brain. We're all working
Right.
with the nervous system. We're
Right.
all working with our cognitions, our right brain, our left brain. That's, you know, it's the same mechanism.
Right.
Everybody's story and situation is different.
Right.
Right. Everybody's needs are different. But there's no one way.
Right.
Right. So the same way I was thinking about like intuitive eating and therapy or somatic work. And I was just appreciating that there's just so much overlap.
Yeah, there is.
Right. Like intuitive eating gets you in tune with your hungerfulness, your feelings, emotions, and really being okay with that feeling and emotion. Like being able to sit with it, being able to be okay with it. And a lot of somatic work is exactly that.
Okay,
With
so let's do it.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm really anxious. Okay.
So just taking a moment, noticing your space
okay.
or my space. Just noticing if there's anything that you need right now. Like, and then noticing your surroundings. Noticing if there's anything that kind of pulls your attention. You can take your time.
Okay.
And when you find that spot, just if you could stay with it, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
Okay. Just noticing if it's something that you look at. Noticing its colors, its shape. Maybe noticing something that you haven't noticed about it before. Just staying with it if that feels okay for you. Just checking inside, like what's letting you know that that's the space. What's going on inside as you look at it?
Should I tell you?
Yeah,
yeah.
You can, or if you feel comfortable sharing this, where you
Yeah.
can just notice.
Okay, I think I'm gonna tell you. Easier for me.
Sure.
I'm actually looking at a picture, two pictures of me and my sister, Sima. But I also have a letter here from my mom. Like a few months before she died. But I like quickly, like when you said something, I don't remember what you said, but I quickly, like when you said like what color, or like noticed the color, or like what drew you here. So first of all, I can't really see my mom's letter. I must have like hid it somewhere, but it's somewhere in here. And second of all, it's easier to talk about my sister than my mom. So that's what drew me to that.
Yeah, so just staying with the picture for a moment. Just noticing what happens inside as you stare at it and notice Sima, yourself. Others, the shape. I'm just noticing what you sense inside as you look there. Now, just checking in what you're noticing inside.
Okay, so I'm noticing that when we started the call, like I felt very anxious in my stomach. I still feel like that. So it's funny, the picture is like conjuring up a lot of like positive memories of when we went away for a night, But it's also like reminding me why we went away. So there's like a sadness. Like I'm feeling both. Like I'm feeling like we're both smiling and like really happy. And it was really like a nice getaway. But it was also like because like I wasn't like coping so well after my mom died. So it was like so necessary. And I remember feeling like, oh, this was way too short. Like it just wasn't enough time to like, I mean, there's never enough time to heal, but especially it was like very within the first year, I think. So it was like so not enough, you know?
Right. So I'm wondering if we could tap into both and just notice it, right? Noticing the positive memories, kind of holding it on one hand.
Should I still look at the picture? Sorry for asking.
Whatever you'd like. There's no rules.
I'm going to keep looking at it.
Go right ahead. You know what you need. I'm just noticing the positive memories. Also holding the sadness. Yeah. Just noticing what that's like to hold both together.
Okay. Should I share or you don't want me to?
We don't need to do this on a karmic level. You can right. share as much as you want or as little as you want. There's no need.
It's hard for me not to share. And also you're my friend, so. But is it better? Okay, I'm going to ask you later, but I want to know. Like, I feel like it would help me to share, so that's why I would share.
Just go ahead. You know what you need.
Okay, so I'm feeling like it's uncomfortable actually to hold both of those feelings. And it's like a little depressing to say out loud that like the sadness is so much more than the happiness, which just makes me more sad because it was like really truly like we both look so happy in the picture and like it was a momentary happiness. Like it was so, you know, like it's so fleeting. Like I was thinking as I was saying it before that there's really nothing that you need in the first year or two because nothing will really help you. I mean, some things will make it like a little less sharp, the pain, but like really not, you know, you can't escape the pain.
Right.
So it's like gratitude that I have my sister and all my siblings, like so much gratitude that that she's such a good big part of my life, you know, and connects me to my mother. But sadness that like it has to be that we had to do that, you know.
Yeah. So I'm wondering when you're thinking about the gratitude, right? And thinking about how grateful you are to have her. You check inside. Would it be okay to notice where you're sensing the gratitude?
I actually feel it in my heart. In my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Would it be okay if we stayed with that for a moment?
Sure. I could do that. Put my hands on my heart.
You can do whatever you want, yeah. Just noticing what happens as you lean into it. Feeling that gratitude.
It's so hard for me to do that.
It's hard. Yeah, it's not natural. So just we're staying for as long as we can, and we can come right back.
Okay.
Okay. Doesn't have to be a long time. It's just noticing, right? Getting in touch with it.
I'm having a hard time doing it on camera because I feel like if I would really do that, it would be way more emotional and I'm not going to go there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's your system, really. Like it knows what it needs and it's saying, okay, this is my max of what I can do now.
Right. That's what I'm feeling. Yeah.
It's totally fine. Okay, so I'm wondering if there's a place that you think of as in like, when you think of it, it's like, ah, oh, I'd love to go there. When you think of it, it's like pleasant.
Oh, any place?
Any place. Any place, either imagined or real.
Oh, I could tell you a place.
Let's
Should
just
I? Thank
sure.
you. Santa Barbara by the beach. It's so beautiful.
Wow.
But it's like, it's not just a beach, you know? It's like clear waters, like it's magical. Like it's beautiful. It's like happy town. Like we went there once and it was like really, and also I guess like, yeah, it was actually before my mom died. So it was more like real joy, like full vacation, not just like partially trying to survive, you know? So I am thinking of that. I always think like if I can't go to Israel, like the next place that I would want to go back to is Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara, yeah. So
yeah.
Just taking a moment, noticing the colors, place, and just noticing inside what happens as you think about it.
Yeah, I can't do it on camera either. But I'm noticing that if I probably would do it, it would help me get into like a relaxed state. But I can't do that right now.
You can feel the fullness. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. So as much as you can, right?
Yeah.
And just noticing what happened inside as you thought about it. Right? Just even think talking about it.
Yeah.
What that does for yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it normal that it also brings up some sad, like a lot of sadness?
Anything we're going to touch upon is going to bring up whatever's going on for us.
Okay, interesting.
So that, like, it's hard to tease out one and not the other.
Yeah.
The more you do it, the more you're flexing that muscle of, I can tease it out because I know I'm going to get to it.
Interesting.
Right, but our system doesn't let us like forget about something fully. Like, oh,
Yeah.
I'm here. Like, don't forget about me.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really normal.
Okay, good. Good to know.
So I'm wondering if you could just take a moment and check in just on the sadness for as long as that feels okay, and we're gonna come right back. Just noticing the intensity and where you sense it. And then as soon as it feels like, oh, I'm done. Come right back.
Yeah, it's very intense, actually.
Very intense. So I'm going to do something called pendulation. Okay. I'm going to have you to take a moment. Think about Santa Barbara.
Okay.
Just hold that, sensing it for as long as it feels okay. Noticing where you're sensing it, noticing the intensity. And then, as soon as it feels like okay, we're going to go back to that sadness. So, noticing inside where you're sensing the sadness. As soon as it feels too much, we're going to go straight back to Santa Barbara. Just like colors. Happiness. Beauty.
I'm still in the sadness.
You're still in the sadness.
Yeah, because I could still tolerate it. I'm not crying. I just need to share. Okay, I'm gonna. I'm going to stay in the sadness because it's like bringing up some interesting thoughts.
Okay, so just staying with that, you know what you need. So noticing if there's any memories or where it brings you back to.
Okay, I'm getting out of the sadness now. Okay.
Okay, so going back to Santa Barbara. Noticing the colors around you. Venus. in there for as long as you need. And noticing if you can stay there or if there are thoughts that are going on.
Yeah, I can't stay there.
And that's okay. We can notice our thoughts and then come right back and try again. Just stay, go back to Santa Barbara.
Go back?
Yeah, if we can. If it feels okay for you. Right, so noticing if we're staying.
I could do it. I could stay.
Okay. It's just maybe listening to the sounds and the sensations. Maybe noticing the weather.
The weather's perfect.
Wow.
I'm having a memory that I think about sometimes that we had bikes like in the villa that we rented. There was like bikes and, you know, I love to bike, but they were like really cool, fun, like old school bikes. And we biked around the whole city. It's like not so big. And yeah. And at one point we were like, you know, when there's like a road for bikes and like on a busy street. Like busy, busy underpass, and I was like, "We can't do this." Obviously, we can't do this. We have to walk our bikes, and of course, my husband's like, "No, no, it's fine. There's a lane." I was like, "I can't ride my bike at 20 miles an hour next to a car," and he's like, "No, you can't." And I remember thinking, like, it was like as scary or more scary than being on a roller coaster. There's like real danger, but it was also, and I remember thinking, I have children, what am I doing? And then thinking like how exhilarating it was, like the wind in your hair, not that my hair was showing, the wind in your face, and like how I did it. You know, I was so scared, but I did it. But it was like the combination of like being on vacation and like having fun and like doing something that you're afraid of and not knowing. So like I woke up in the morning and I'm like, I'm gonna bike down the hill, you know?
Right.
So it's just like a really fun memory that I have.
And even as you're telling this to me, just noticing what that does.
I'm still having a lot of like sadness mixed in. It's hard for me to separate it, but it is like positive to reminisce. But it's still, I think it's also because we're on camera. Like if we weren't on camera, I'd probably be able to, but I don't want to also, like I wouldn't want to do that. So
so just noticing if we can bounce back and forth, right? The acceleration of like that wind in your face, that feeling, sadness. Playing around with that for a moment.
Like, think about the happiness and then the sadness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just that moment of biking and that wind in your face, the exhilaration. Going to the sadness. Right back to the exhilaration of that wind. Noticing the air in your face. The adrenaline. Would it be okay if we go back to that sadness for a moment? Just noticing that sadness. Noticing inside where we're sensing it. Then we're going to go right back to that like fun, the air in your face, exhilaration,
The beach.
The beach.
The kosher iced coffee. Coffee bean.
Oh, wow. Coffee bean.
The tiles. The it's like has a Spanish
Wow.
flair.
Yeah.
So beautiful. Like even like the Chase Bank, all the time, like everything on the like, you know, strip of stores is the same beautiful tiles. Like you're like, this is my vacation spot. People like live here and they go to that Chase Bank, you know?
Wow. Sounds
Yeah.
like a picture perfect.
It is picture perfect.
Just taking that in for a moment, that like picture perfect, the tiles. The palm trees.
The first vacation that we ever took. That's also like probably why everything was more exciting for me.
So exciting. Just taking that all in. Staying there for as long as it feels great and as long as you need.
What'd you say?
Let me know if you're ready. I'm
Okay,
back
fine.
here.
I was enjoying that happy moment.
You want to go back?
No, it's okay.
Okay. So, would it be okay if we check in on the sadness again? Knowing that we come right back to that picture perfect as soon as we need.
Yeah.
Okay, so going ahead, you know what to do. Noticing that sadness. Noticing where we sense it inside. Noticing the intensity. There's a memory that comes up with it.
It's actually like less intense, and I don't want to go back there now.
You know what you need. I'm just noticing how we were able to sense something, go back and forth, and it gets less intense.
Less intense, but also more resistance, I'm
You
feeling.
really don't want to go back there.
Right.
Okay. Your system knows what it needs right now. So just checking in if you want to go back to the picture perfect for a moment.
It's hard now. It's harder for me to do that.
Okay. Would you want me to guide you?
Yeah.
Okay, so just taking a moment, noticing the tiles, the first vacation, the chill vibes or atmosphere, waking. Seeing the colors, the weather.
I'm remembering the whole vacation. Some of it was in like LA, and some of it was in Santa Barbara, which LA is also beautiful. I'm like remembering like all the colors, the green and like the perfect weather, you know?
Wow. Wow. So just checking in with you where you're at right now.
I really want to share with you my cognitive brain. That's where I am.
Okay. There's no rules.
Right, there's no rules. It's interesting, I think my brain is much more of a negativity bias. I guess like everyone has that, but I feel like I do have that a little bit stronger than average. Because I'm a four. But so like noticing that like in real time is like hard, because it's like really hard to be positive when your brain tells you to be negative. But also really powerful that like when I continued to try to stay positive, I didn't want to go back to sadness, which is very rare for me.
Wow.
Appreciating that, like if I try or I am guided, I could actually stay in a positive space.
Right. And no one told you, like, stay in the positive space. There was
Right.
no cognitions. It was this, like, sounds like you just, your system knew. This is where I want to go. This is where I want to stay.
Only after like a few times going back and forth.
Right. And it's not, you're flexing a new muscle.
Right. Right.
But there's this knowing, like you're, no one can tell you in that moment of where to be. You knew where you needed to be.
Right. I feel like I could like go back to that, like not always, but like at least I know it's there that I could, you know, when I'm feeling negative about something, I could actually like, if I don't want to say try hard enough, but if I could like stay in the sadness for long enough, I could pull the happiness, like the positive out of it.
Yeah. And you
Hopefully.
created a resource for yourself. Right? The more we lean into a memory, the more we lean into anything, it can be our resource. That when I see Santa Barbara, right? Just noticing what happens to you as you just saying that word can bring stuff up.
Are we done with the demo? Are we out of it? Took me out of it.
Sure. So just checking in if it's okay to land here as far as the demo goes.
Yes, it's good.
Okay.
That's all I could take for today.
That's completely fine.
Okay. So is that how you would wrap it up?
I always wrap up with checking in, and the client can check in and see if it's okay for them to kind of land there.
So is that, would you say like that would be a typical, would that be like a typical session that would last like the full, whatever, 30 minutes, 45 minutes?
Yeah, so I definitely sped it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Also, different people need different things, right? But that's generally when it comes to, you know, creating what we call resources. So we create resources, can be anything that brings, you know, a sense of calm or positivity or settledness, or really anything. Anything can be a resource for somebody, right? So we try to bring up like either positive memories, positive places, things in our environment, and that we make that a resource, right? So just like you said, like if I think of it, right, it can bring up so much, right? I can think of Santa Barbara and I can think of like, wow, like that was so exhilarating, so amazing, right? And that's your resource that can go with you wherever you are.
It's just so funny that like the way my brain looks at such a positive experience is that like the sadness that it's over, which is probably normal, I'm assuming. Like if let's say like you ask a client, like remember like go to like a memory that's like, you know, let's say somebody would say their wedding day, or some people would not say their wedding day, their first giving birth, not seeing a friend for a lot, like some, you know, going to Israel for the first time. So it's like, you know, like giving you that like real sensation of happiness, but I can't imagine that it wouldn't also bring up sadness that it's over. I don't know, some people probably
Right.
not.
So if memories are not something that we could really go to, you are okay with staying there. Right. But like, I don't know if you noticed that, like, you looked at your picture and there was a lot of sadness there. Right. There was like the feelings that were coming up for Sima and the gratefulness. And so I kind of shifted to like
Got it.
place.
Got
Right.
it.
And so what we do is that early on, we try to come up with resources that are neutral. You were okay. And as somebody who's worked on themselves, I felt comfortable with you staying in your sadness and being okay with that. You knew what you needed. Right. But at first there are times where like, we can't, you know, if memories are too triggering. So we're going to just stay right here, right now. Could we notice something in our space that feels good enough? Okay. It doesn't need to be like amazing and positive, and but that it's okay. Good enough. And just noticing what that good enough feels like. Right? And creating things that it can be a smell. Right? It can be our favorite food. It could be a taste. Anything that engages us could be a resource. And then we can use it as a way to, like, when I need to ground myself and you know, hold space or make space, I can do that.
Actually, I tell me what you think about this. What came up for me when we went back to the sadness for so, I don't remember exactly which time, was that like the IFS memory of like, you know, when you notice like your like yourself, like self and then the parts. So like and a lot of clients have told me this, that like the sadness part is like you see yourself as like a little girl like huddled in a corner crying. So like I had that sort of like pop into my head, like it wasn't there like the whole time, and also like because this is like, you know, being recorded, I was like, okay, we're not gonna go there, but like interesting to notice it.
Yeah. And you know, you the more we notice, the more we can go deeper. Right? And the same thing for the positive. So like while I was guiding you through, first it was just Santa Barbara Beach. And then you remember the bike ride. And then you remember the exhilaration. And then you remember the colors and the tile and chase. Right? It was as if your like view started like really small and got bigger and bigger and bigger. And you were able to take in more of that feeling. Right? And that works both ways with positive and negative. Our nervous system won't let us take in more than what is safe for us. Right. If we take in too much, then we can shut down.
Right.
And sometimes that does happen. Sometimes we do shut down.
Right.
It's our nervous system protecting us.
Right.
It's, I don't know. When I think about our nervous system, I think of like, I went on a total tangent there of like, Hashem created our systems to protect us in whatever way that's going to look. Sometimes we don't like the way it protects us.
Right?
We have a lot of feelings towards that whole system.
Resistance.
It could be disgust. It could be anger.
Right.
Whatever it is. right? Whatever we've experienced, that ultimately, like, our system has been programmed to keep us the safest we can at every point in our life, right? Whether it means that we go into feeling really anxious and overwhelmed and, you know, do, right? Or if,
yeah.
it's like, I need to shut off all my emotions so that I can just cope.
Right. It's an interesting thing, like, not to get too, like, religious or, like, theoretical, you know, like, philosophical, but I have a little bit of an issue with it in terms of, like, Hashem made such an amazing world to, amazing, like, nervous system to protect us, because the things that protect us also really hurt us. So, like, in my mind, I would think we would be a little bit more maladaptive in a positive way, meaning, like, I just know this from you and people who I've spoken to, therapists and books and stuff, that, like, that's like really the whole IFS model, is that, like, even though we're, like, stonewalling or we're shutting down or we're really anxious, like, obviously that's because, like, you know, in our childhood, like, we had to not show emotions, otherwise we were hit, you know? So I wish that, like, people go to years of therapy or to try to figure out, oh, like, oh, it was trying to help me. I wish it was. Obviously, I don't run the world, but I'm just saying, for me, there's, like, obviously I'm focusing on the negative, but there's, like, a pain point that, like, you would think the protective system would be a little bit more protective. Does that make sense?
I'm going to tease it out for a moment. Because what I'm hearing you say is, like, if only it would be more, like, cushiony and pleasant when it's protecting us.
Not just cushiony and pleasant, but, like, actually, like, make us feel better. Like, actually be like, oh yeah, I just, like, maybe, like, a little bit more naturally noticing, like, oh, I guess that's what a therapist does. But I'm saying, like,
that's what somatic work does, is that I could re-experience sensations and be okay with that sensation.
That's very interesting.
Because when we experience sensations, we're also experiencing cognitions, right?
Right.
And so it's not the sensation that's making us say, that's bad, that's awful. There's the cognitions that come along with that, like, oh, I don't like that. Or
right.
The people around us and the way they respond to our system responds.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like, and you were just saying this, like, the lollipop to the three-year-old is just as exciting as the diamond ring to the, you know, to the
19-year-old, whatever,
right? The way, and not to put a guilt trip. This is not for guilt. This is just education. The way we respond to that three-year-old in their tantrum is just as painful as somebody when we're adults saying, you shouldn't be feeling that way.
Probably worse as a kid, no?
I don't know. I would have to go into a child's brains really experiencing it. But yeah, like, that's where they build these beliefs about themselves. And that's where these cognitions come along with, right? When I have that, it's yuck.
Right.
Right? When I have this, it's not acceptable.
Right.
When I respond this way, it's the worst thing ever.
Right.
Right? And then we, as we get older, we also build these schemas of trying to understand the world, right? And from a child's perspective, they need to hold on to the fact that the adults in their life are their protectors and the be it and end all and are right. And so sometimes we flip those beliefs against ourselves to make sense, because that's all what we're doing, is trying to make sense of the world. We always do this. This is how we're created, to make sense of things, right? Because we always ask this, what, where, why, when, whenever something happens that we're like, huh? Right? That we can't understand. So we're always asking questions because we're making sense of it. That's how our brains were wired.
Right.
And so as a child, we're asking those questions too, maybe not without knowing, right? Or why else would an adult treat me that way? Oh, it must be because I'm the problem. It must be because of me. If I was more da 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 da, then they wouldn't do that.
Right.
If I did X, Y, and Z, or if I was, that wouldn't happen. Right. And that's when our nervous system and our cognitions get like kind of fused together.
Right.
And as we grow, it's more fusing and more fusing and more fusing.
Right.
Right. So then the way in which we all of a sudden look at the world is through a different set of lenses, a different pair of glasses. Right. And so you can have a bunch of kids coming out of the same home or a bunch of people experiencing the same experience, but they experience it so differently because of all that, because of the that they wear.
Yeah. I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
So we said, but you were saying before about like the overlap with like, you know, therapy and intuitive eating or like whatever. So let's say here, somatic therapy and intuitive eating. We don't have so much time, but I want you to, let me explain to you why I thought it was really fascinating. Because somebody told me that she like enjoyed working with me, but it was way too cognitive for her. And she ended up working with a somatic therapist. And she's like, it's totally changed my relationship with food and my body. And we don't even talk about my body or food. And I was like, you know, and then I was like, well,
right.
She was a somatic. And she's always talking about blah, blah, blah. And then I kind of did have that aha moment. Like, I wouldn't say it was like an aha moment. It was more like years and years of doing intuitive eating where I was like, knowing that the hardest part of intuitive eating for people is accepting the fact that their body will not be skinny potentially.
Yeah.
And having to, they could try to accept it, but they might not accept it actually. So they might like know cognitively, like my weight is not my worth and I don't have to lose weight in order to fit in. And if I do, then that obviously those friends are not, you know, friends that I need, blah, 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 all that cognitive stuff.
Right.
But the ability to actually accept your body or accept that you're at a party and everyone's eating salad and you really are more in the mood of pasta or you're really much more hungry, you know? So can you walk me through a little bit like how maybe somatic therapy could help someone with like, let's say body image or intuitive.
Right. Right. So, you know, somatic therapy, none of the sessions look per se the same. And we work through things in various different ways. Sorry, my mind's going in like a million different places and I kind of got like, just take a moment.
You have time. You're good.
There's a few different ways that a somatic therapist can work through something, right? And just like you say, like what's underneath the experience is usually emotions. It's usually other stuff.
Okay.
And if we're able to process the other stuff, other things fall into place. So it's not like, oh, we need to address everything. And if we don't address everything and delve in, then we're not pulling it apart.
Right.
Right. There's a very big respectfulness about somatic work. Right. And I don't know what that person's experience was like. So I can't speak to her experience and what that therapist may have done because I don't know. And I will never know.
Right.
Right. It might mean that she was tantruming on the floor.
Right.
Because she had to tantrum and that had to be okay. And she
right.
had to tantrum in a space that she was unconditionally positive regarded and that was okay.
It's so foreign. It's not foreign to me because I know, but it's foreign to me as a child who, I'm not saying anything bad about my parents more generationally, that like tantruming was considered very bad. So like, I still.
Absolutely. And to this day, you have people, I've heard so many things that like, chutzpah, how do you let her talk that way to you?
Right.
And in my mind, it's like, well, what's behind the behavior?
Right.
Not a bad kid. She's not looking to be chutzpah.
Right.
Right. And the way in which we parent nowadays is so different, right? Like,
so different. Oh my gosh.
I'm the youngest, right?
Right.
And so when my siblings look at the way I respond to my kids, when they say certain things, Right? And you know exactly what
Well,
I'm
you are a
talking about.
therapist. You are a therapist, so it is a little bit different. But
It is
yes.
a little bit different, but I'm also understanding why that child is doing what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, and you have
Right?
a lot of
I'm also
patience.
human. I'm also human.
Right.
I'm putting it out
Yes.
there. I have my moments. I
Yes.
lose it. I
Yeah.
think about how many times like my kids are going to have to work through things in therapy because of things Emmy has said or done. Okay. And I'm okay with that. Right?
Right.
Thank God there are plenty of great therapists there. And when my kids want to work through things, they can. And I'll be happy to fund it.
That's funny.
Yeah, my kids will be looking at this in like 20 years from now.
I know.
Anyway,
Yeah.
but I'm able to really take myself out of it. Right? It's not me. It's not about
Right.
me.
Right.
Right? This is totally going on a different like parenting piece here.
Yeah.
So I'm realizing we're digressing. But you know, when we're able to take ourselves out of it in that way, right? So the same thing, like a therapist, it's not about me. It's
Right.
about my client's experience and what they're needing in this moment.
Right.
Right? Totally not about me.
Right.
Right? Your system knows what it needs. Who am I to impose that you have to do it a certain way?
And
Right?
that's what intuitive
Yeah.
eating is about. Who am I to tell you that this food is going to make you healthy or this food is going to make you full? I'm not, that's not my job.
Right. My job, and this is where we're both going to agree on, is that my job is to take you where you need to go.
Right.
Right? And allow you to do it safely in a way that
Right.
feels okay. So I might slow you down. Right?
Right.
We might not go there so quickly because that would be too much. Right? I might check in more with you, like just checking in. Right? And then you were able to tell me, I actually want to stay in the sadness a little bit. Right? Go right ahead. You could stay there as
Right.
long as you feel it's good. Right? As long as that feels okay for you. And then whenever you're ready, you can come back. Right? And
But
so what you're asking, to answer your question under what you want,
yeah.
is how does somebody not talk about something and process it? And it really is, there's a few ways that we can do it, is that we can just sense and feel, right? And our senses and feelings take us to things, right? It takes us to memories, it takes us to experiences. We can process without having to cognitively process,
Right.
right? It's kind of getting back in tune with our nervous system and being okay with our nervous system. The same way intuitive eating is getting back in touch with your hunger fullness,
Right.
getting in touch with your intuitive knowledge.
Right.
That's what somatic work does. It gets you back in touch with your intuitive knowledge with your nervous system, right? Way back when you were 1.5 years old, crying was okay, yelling was okay, or hopefully,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
Right? Or even if it's not at that point. So imagine a newborn, right? Where they have no ability to talk,
Right.
right? You know, they could be cranky, they could be gazzy, they can be crying, they can be happy, they can be,
Right.
they can feel the fullness of whatever that feeling is for them, and they are totally accepted. Right? It's totally okay. Right? So we're kind of reprogramming our nervous system a little bit. We're getting more in touch with our nervous system and being okay to be with our nervous system. Know if I totally
Yes,
to.
that totally makes sense. But my question that's coming up for me is that, let's say, let's say in this particular like demo, you said that like I was able to say, could I stay in the sadness? Can I stay? Can I, right? So that is from cognitive, that for me at least is from my years in cognitive therapy, because I've done cognitive therapy, a lot of it. And I have an analytic brain. So I'm always like analyzing my thoughts and behaviors for better or for worse. So I'm wondering, like somebody who's coming to would you say that like you could still do somatic, like not hands in hands with cognitive work, or you learn, like somebody might learn to do the, sensing, feeling, working through, and then do, like, how do you think that usually plays out?
Some people could come in not connected to their sensing feeling at all. And that's okay too, right? It's little bits and pieces. It's not that somebody has to be in a certain place, right? Our goal is to work towards being okay with the sensing and feeling. If you're not sensing and feeling, that's okay, right? Everybody's journey is going to look different. And that was only one piece of what somatic work could do,
I know. It's
right?
fascinating. I can't wait for people
It's
to learn more.
Because I can tell you in three lines, a whole three, sorry, three words, all of what's coming up for me, right? And I don't need to know anything, really, nothing, right? Somebody could be processing.
What was that?
And somebody could be doing a process, right? So I might ask them, can you summarize like what's coming up for you in a few words, right? Would it be okay if I repeat that back to you? Right. And just by repeating it to them, it brings up a whole wave of emotion. And they're able to be with it. They can ground themselves. They can stay with it for as long as possible. Right. And that is a process. Right. It's relearning in that way. Or it could be that somebody's just sensing and not feeling. And we can work with that too. Of, I feel like I'm repeating myself again and back to a place of like being okay and slowly starting to feel again. Right? Again, in whatever, there's a analogy that we use in somatic work, or at least with my supervisor. She uses this. And we're always careful with the pacing and the dosing.
My supervisor also uses that with food.
Okay, right. So I'm going to use this analogy of like we've all done this as kids, right? Taking like baking soda and vinegar and pouring it together and having that explosion. And it's so much fun, right? To watch. In real life, the explosions are not fun, right? But that if, let's say, I have a cup of vinegar and a cup of baking soda and I need to get one into the other, right? If I pour the whole thing, I'm going to have an explosion. But if I take tiny, tiny little bits of that baking soda and I put a little drop into the beaker, right? I'm gonna have a little fizzle and then it's gonna come down. And we continue to do this, right? I could take a little bit, put it in, have the fizzle and come down. And eventually I'm gonna get the entire cup into the other cup without the explosion.
It's interesting.
That's what we do in somatic work. Right, so that's why it's different than traditional, like what we talk like talk therapy, narrative therapy, and that we have to talk, we have to get to the bottom of it, right? Which for some people that's so dysregulating, right? And it's so painful, right? And so kind of to bring it full circle of like this person who was able to work through food and the what it brought up for them. It could be that they did in some sort of process that dosing by little bits, right? And so whatever food brought up for them is no longer there because they're okay where their nervous system goes, or their nervous system may not be as triggered by looking at food. Or by, I don't know, you could give it a scenario,
By
walking
being
into a
with
grocery
someone who's
store.
always on a diet and talking about their diet and asking me there and how everyone's complimenting them in front of you. That's extremely triggering for most people, who are doing it, who are trying not to diet. I'll just tell you why. I have to go in 2 minutes, but in terms of like this work being revolutionary, in conjunction with intuitive eating is because, first of all, there's a principle. There's two principles that I call like the emotional principles, which is challenging the food police and coping with your emotions with kindness. And so when we get up to that, those principles, first I teach clients about their physical symptoms of hunger and fullness and ghrelin and leptin and the hormones that are secreted when you feel those things, and then, you know, the natural rhythm of your body. Most people feel hungry every 2 to 3 hours. You could feel it in your stomach. You could feel it in your head, like all that, like inner, you know, biology that they may not know because whatever, they weren't taught it, or dieting turned off that system. And then when we get to the emotional principles, I tell them, now that you really can mostly recognize physical hunger, physical fullness, now when you have an urge to eat and you know you're not physically hungry, we could try to figure out if it is emotional and what emotion is coming up, and learn to actually deal with that emotion. And of course, I'm not a therapist, but what I teach the clients, and it often very much resonates, is that many of us were told not to feel. We were punished for feeling, or we were not allowed to feel. So just allowing the feeling to be, which is like really painful for people who have never done it. And I'm like, definitely not a therapist. So I can't really do that. I could explain that to them and like teach them that in a small dose. But I think that that's why like Somatic really spoke to me, because the feelings are so big, like feeling like you don't fit in because you're fat, feeling like no matter how little you eat, you'll never be skinny, and like feeling like it's your fault and people telling you that it's your fault. Like, you know how painful that is? Like it's extremely, extremely painful. So painful.
And what I'm going to add to what you said is that a lot of times people feel their feelings in its fullness, not realizing that they don't have to feel it all at once.
Wow.
Right? Like, yeah. It's not that I feel or I don't feel, right?
Right.
There's a continuum. And there's a lot in between. Right? And so that I can feel as much as it feels okay for me to feel right now. And then I can take a break. And when I'm ready, I can feel again. And then I can take a break. Right? And I could work my way up to feeling its intensity. But that I don't need to either be yes or no, on or off.
Right. Stop lying and wait.
Exactly. Right. And just like you were able to say, like, for the purpose of this, I wasn't able to feel the fullness. That was okay. Right. And so somebody in a restaurant with a bunch of people who are talking about diets.
Yeah.
Right. It's not that I need to feel, I need to sit in it.
Right. Right.
Right. I can notice how I'm feeling. And then I can say, wow, this is really painful. And then I'm going to address this more when I get home, when I'm in a safe space where I can feel more fully and allow it to be, knowing that I have the supports around me or things around me that remind me about who I am, where I am, right? Because there's a whole nother piece that, like, oh, we'll have to spend more time talking about.
Yeah, let's do part three.
There's attachments in this.
Okay, we have to do a part three. I'm sorry.
There's a whole nother, like, my supervisor gives it a week-long training on just attachment. Right? And that the people around us are going to evoke different things. Right? Sure. Based on the past, based on current, based on future, based on, right? And that could bring up a lot of feelings for us. So just leaving it at that, but knowing that we don't have to feel in the moment, the intensity,
right?
I can address it to what is appropriate for that moment and know that I can come back to it.
I'm just going to add one more thing to that, and then we can wrap up, that a lot of clients, people, whatever, they say that, like, you know, the whole day they're fine. They eat regularly, they eat foods they like, and then still they're binging at 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night, which is, you, like, for the busy moms that I counsel, it's usually like, I just did bedtime. I just, blah, 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 right? And it's like, because you don't, if you're like in the middle of a lunch meeting at work and somebody triggers you, it's probably not the best time to start crying. So like talk about protection, right? Like talk about like self-regulating. But if you don't deal with it later, like, so you're going to have something that probably will surface, and then you're going to be like, where's the chocolate? If you don't have
absolutely, this, absolutely, guilty as charged. Right?
Yeah,
Like,
we all are. We all are.
we all are. We all are. Like, stressful day. I didn't have time to go to the gym. Blah, 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 and I'm tired and I'm exhausted and I'm looking for the sugar because I need to finish my paperwork. And,
Yeah.
right? And we're just like, oh my gosh, I just finished, like, a chunk of Swimmers. Like, yeah, they're great. But
Yeah, they're delicious.
also, like, you also feel like, at least I feel yuck when I'm just like,
Right.
oh my gosh, I just ate like a whole lot of that and that does not feel good right now.
Right. And in
Right?
terms of
Right?
dosing, sometimes five feels great. You know?
Right.
Does that make sense? Like
I'm putting
sometimes
away more than five.
no, but I'm not talking about that. I'm saying it's not always quote unquote bad to do emotional eating, and sometimes it's actually great. Like if you're like, okay, when I get that need for sugar and I have like five pieces of candy, like I've done this with clients, like okay, after bedtime, five pieces of candy, like proactively, they like love it, and sometimes they don't
Right.
need it.
Right.
Pretty cool.
Right. Exactly. And it's, I think it's the knowledge of, like you say, like compassionately,
Right.
like I know now that I've, done some work in intuitive eating is that when I'm reaching for that candy and it's 11:30 at night and really like, I want to go to bed,
Right.
but I'm tired, but I need to get through and I need to plow through. I'm like, okay, of course I'm reaching for sugar. I'm
Right.
tired. I need a pick me up. I need
Right.
like a shot of like adrenaline. And so of
Right.
course I'm craving sugar.
Right.
Okay.
For sure.
That was okay. So I went through X, Y, and Z. Well, it got me through my paperwork that I need to do.
It's true. It really is true.
And then I can the next day be like, okay, that didn't feel great. How am I reworking this? What do I need to
Right.
take out of my day? What do I need to put into my day?
For sure.
Right, but it's not beating myself up for what was,
Yeah.
right? And going back to how could I can't believe I
Yeah.
did that, whatever.
Right.
It's okay, let's be proactive and figure out like that is not working for me,
Right.
right? That's not helpful, or that is really helpful right now. And I know that things are going to get calmer and that I'm not going to need that, right?
Right.
My schedule ease up or whatever it is.
Right.
And I'm okay with that for now.
Okay, I have to wrap up now, but this
Gotta
was
wrap
amazing.
up. Okay, well,
We'll do round number three. I know
okay.
you have
Always
a lot of free
a
time, you know? So
pleasure.
just kidding. Okay, yeah, it was great. Thank you so much, Alisheva. And I'll put all your information in the show notes if people want to reach out and book an appointment with you.
Amazing. And I'm happy you're able to send this out to people because it's such foundational information that we don't get.
Yeah. Totally. I hope it's
Amazing.
helpful. Okay, have a great
Okay.
day.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you all so much for being here on my podcast, Get Into It with Gila.
If you'd like to learn more about what I do and what intuitive eating is, please visit my website at www.gilaglassberg.com or follow me on Instagram at Gila Glassberg. Thank you so much. Have a great day.